Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On a Tuesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Draft is 48-plus hours away, NFL Draft. First round Thursday night. Let's welcome aboard right now Ryan Wilson. Covers the NFL Draft for CBSSports.com. Hey, Ryan, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes again this
morning,
bud. Appreciate it.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's
do
going
well.
On, man?
Do well. What do you make? You know, Taz and I talked a lot about it yesterday. Your compatriot over there at CBS Sports, and Pete Prisco reporting that from his understanding that the Cardinals are not going to take Kyler Murray number one overall. Where, you know, after it was, seemed like a foregone conclusion, what do you believe in terms of everything coming out of Arizona right now?
I believe Pete, and I believe that Pete believes who he's talking to, and I asked Pete straight up, I said, give me a percentage of how sure you are you're not being smokescreened. And he said, I'm 90% sure, 90. And he said, if I'm not, I'm going to go back and I'll be dropping some expletives. But he makes a compelling case, but then you other people that are tied in just as well as Pete is, and Pete's been around forever, he knows everybody, you hear them saying different things. I am not tied in as well as Pete, and I'm honestly at the point where I don't know what to believe. I still think I'm leaning towards Kyler Murray about 65%. I think it happens unless there's a trade offer that changes their mind. It's just a weird, awkward situation. On the one hand, you're not sure. On the other hand, why would Josh Rosen show up for work
right.
if they haven't said something to him about, listen, we're just doing this to make this team better for you? The other hand, why all the subterfuge? And, you know, I get it in terms of leverage, but at some point, you're a 3-win football team. Why don't you focus on that? So I honestly don't know. I don't think they should take Kyler Murray. I like Kyler Murray, but you have Josh Rosen. If Josh Rosen came out this year, he would be the first quarterback taken. You got the quarterback there. He can run the air raid offense. That's not a concern. Fix everything else. And then if you want to play games, you can do that next year when you're a better football team.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We were talking, you know, Ryan Moose and I were yesterday a lot about this, you know, about what, you know, Pete Prisco said, his report and all that stuff. And it's just, it's weird, you know, like, you know, why wouldn't they just, you know, Kingsbury comes in, he knows at that time Rose is the quarterback of the Cardinals, so he's going to inherit him. So I don't think he would have taken the job if he doesn't think he could have done something to coach this kid up. And then once he realizes, okay, hey, look, Murray's going to be available. He's not going to play baseball for the Oakland A's and all this jazz. And next thing you know, like, the management and him, like, the narrative to the public has been, as you know, well, Josh Rosen is our quarterback for now. I mean, so now if this don't happen, they don't take Kyler Murray, okay? You got to try to repair that, right? How doesn't that damage a kid's psyche like Rosen? He's got to be a little disgruntled, wouldn't you think?
You'd think, that's right. And not only, I mean, look, he was playing on a team that couldn't figure out how to use David Johnson last year. So there's a lot to fix.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of reasons for him to be gun-shy. He took a beating back there because the offensive line wasn't very good. It's one thing after the next. And I think you're exactly right, Tess. Listen, if you bring in Cliff Kingsbury for an interview,
right,
and Kyler Murray's still committed to baseball, why are you talking about Kyler Murray potentially being drafted? You're talking about, okay, how can this is the first question you ask in that sort of interview. Can you work with Josh Rosen? Can you make him better?
Right.
Yes or no? If yes, go here. If no, there's the door.
Exactly.
And, you know, now we're having this whole big deal because back in October, Cliff Kingsbury said he would take Kyler Murray first overall, back when he was a Texas Tech coach and had no idea that Kyler Murray wasn't playing baseball. It's a lot of moving parts, and I wouldn't take Josh Rosen. I mean, excuse me, I wouldn't take Kyler Murray, but it feels like that's where they're going to do it. But maybe that's just a function of us being beaten over the head by the media machine, of which we're a big part of.
Right.
But I, as of right now, I feel like they're probably going to take Kyler Murray.
You know, Ryan, do you think the Giants will draft a quarterback with either one of their first two picks?
They should. They should take Dwayne Haskins at number 6. If he's there, you get the impression publicly listening to Dave Gettleman, that they're more interested in beefing up the lines, both the offensive and defense. And the offensive and defensive lines need beefing up. So my latest mock draft, I think, comes out either today or tomorrow. I'm taking Ed Oliver at number 6, which makes some sense. I mean, again, not a very good football team. And then at number 17, through a function of things that happens ahead of them, Daniel Jones is there. I like Daniel Jones in the second round. I don't love him in the first round, but it feels like the Giants are pretty high on him. Back going back to the Senior Bowl when I was there, that was a big talking point, that the Giants really, really like Daniel Jones. He's a David Cutcliffe guy, so he reminds people of Peyton and Eli Manning. He's a more athletic Eli Manning in my mind. He's not Peyton Manning. And he made a lot of mistakes at Duke, and the question then becomes for NFL teams, is that a function of playing for a not very good Duke team, or is that just who Daniel Jones is? So you got to figure that out. I would take Dwayne Haskins number 6, and then I wouldn't have to worry about it. But, you know, if you want to do all these mental gymnastics about talking yourself into Daniel Jones at 6 or 17, you know, Dave Gettleman to do that. I think they need a quarterback, but if they went offensive line or defensive line at number 6, it wouldn't totally shock me.
I mean, this is, and as you know, Ryan, this draft is chock full of excellent defensive linemen. I mean, so it's like, I mean, it's almost like splitting hairs. Which one's better than who, right? So yeah. You kind of can't go wrong. I mean, who would you go as your top, you know, defensive tackle coming out? Would it be Quinnen Williams? Would it be Olivo? You know, who would it be in your opinion?
The number one player in this draft in my mind is Quinnen Williams. If I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I take Quinnen Williams and go to sleep at night as Steve Pym, the general manager, and know that I'm not going to get fired in the next morning or a year from now. He is that good. I mean, you pair him with Terrell Suggs and Chandler Jones, and suddenly the defense is fixed. Mm. Boom, done. Then you can focus on the rest of your draft on making Josh Rosen, have put players around him. Any of the top four picks, if they don't take Quinnen Williams when he's on the board, the general manager should be fired. He is that good. He's a game changer. There are no questions about anything. Nick Bosa is a fantastic talent, but is he durable enough? We know he only played 3 games.
Yeah, we didn't see him play much.
That's
this year, right.
His brother has struggled with injuries. Is it a family thing or not? Who knows? But I know one thing. When I see Quinnen Williams out there, no one can block him, and you can't even double team him. So,
yeah,
done.
All right, so Quinnen Williams is your best overall player in this draft. A couple players. How about Allen out of Kentucky? You know, some people love him, some people don't. What's your take on the edge rusher and the former Kentucky Wildcat?
I like him a lot. The Jets reportedly aren't crazy about him, so maybe that's not someone they target at number 3 should they still be there. But look, he returned to Kentucky, put on 15 pounds of muscle, went from 235, 240 to about 260, and he just took over games. And he is incredibly fast off the edge. He can drop into coverage if that's what you want him to do. He needs to work on his pass rush moves, but that'll come. But just the athleticism jumps off the screen at you. And in an era where you need pass rushers in this pass-happy NFL, it's insane to think that you wouldn't take him top 5, top 10, worst case. If he gets past number 5, I would be really shocked. But I like him. I'm big on Josh Allen. He's a top 5 guy for me.
You're listening to Taz and Moose. Our special guest right now is Ryan Wilson. Covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports. Ryan, I'll throw throw something at you on as far as tight ends. Several really good tight ends in this draft, and two of them actually from the same school, from Iowa, Hockenson and Noah Fant. Which way would you go as far as these two? Which one would you say would go higher, would go quicker than the other?
It's funny you say that because there are mixed opinions around the league. So you take Noah Fant if you're an Evan Ingram fan. If you're looking for a tight end that's not necessarily an inline guy, you can line up anywhere, runs a 4-5, stretches the field, that type of guy, you take Noah Fant. And both guys are first-round talents, and there are reasons to love them for different reasons. If you are more of a traditional tight ends guy, you want someone who can block a little bit and then do all the things that someone like Travis Kelce does, you take T.J. Hockenson. And I have T.J. Hockenson going to the Jaguars at number 7. They need a right tackle, but they need a tight end in the worst way. If you're going to put all your chips in on Nick Foles, you might as well surround him with people who can play football.
That offensive line, though, in Jacksonville is terrible, though.
It's bad.
It's hugely terrible. So you could take Juwan Taylor, the right tackle there, but if you want to take Hockenson and keep your fingers crossed, you can get a right tackle later.
You know, the Bills, too, you know, Hockenson. He could end up with the Bills at that 9 spot.
Yeah.
That could happen.
And the thing is, you send him somewhere like Buffalo, guess what? Josh Allen's job just got incredibly easier. Yeah. You're not asking him to stand around there in the pocket and take a beating. Just dump the ball off to guys like Hockenson and or Fant.
Yeah.
And another landing spot for those guys could be at number 12 at Green Bay or number 30 at Green Bay. They have 2 first-round picks should they end up, so he'll be on the board at that point.
Yeah, you know, there have been a lot of reports, Ryan, out of Florham Park. I mean, we're going back now 6-7 weeks that McCagnan wants to trade out of that number three pick, that he's looking to add draft assets, and he doesn't have a second round draft choice. What do you think the Jets end up doing with that third overall pick? And would there be a team, and what player do you think would have to be there for a team to be willing to trade up for the third overall pick?
Tyler Murray doesn't go number one. Mike McCagnan is extremely happy. He's making double checking to make sure his phone's on. Because if there's a team, and it could be the team right behind the Oakland Raiders, that is in love with Kyler Murray, that's something to keep an eye on. Another team, our guy Jason Lockham-Ford, CBS Sports, wrote about this yesterday. He said that the Redskins at 15 love Dwayne Haskins, and they might be interested in trading up even as far as to number three to make sure that no one else gets Dwayne Haskins. Because we're at the point in the conversation pre-draft wise where either Haskins is going three or he's going 32. So you don't know where NFL teams truly feel about this. But JLC mentioned that that could be a potential trading partner for the Jets. If the Jets trade down, I feel like I've heard that they want offensive line help. And as you point out, they want to recoup that second-round pick that they gave up last year to move up and get Sam Darnold.
You know, Ryan, who's your top-rated quarterback?
Dwayne Haskins is my number one guy.
And is it close between him and Murray?
Yeah, very close.
What separates the two in your mind?
Dwayne Haskins, look, if you're looking for a traditional guy, Dwayne Haskins is that, 6'3", 235, whatever he is. But, they say he's not very mobile. He is mobile.
He is mobile. I agree with you. He is mobile. He definitely
can move inside the pocket. He's very savvy moving inside the pocket. He's extremely accurate. He can throw different arm angles. He's not the deep ball thrower with consistency that Drew Locke is, for example. But he wasn't asked to do a lot of that. But, 70% completion percentage, 50 touchdowns, all in 1 year work. And if he goes to somewhere like the Giants, he doesn't have to play immediately. They can do with him what they did with Eli back in 2004. Let him sit behind Kurt Warner, bring him in week 7, week 8, even 2020, it doesn't matter. I just feel like the ceiling, or the floor, excuse me, is not as low as it could be for Kyler. Because Kyler could be the next best quarterback we've ever seen, or he could be RG3. We don't know. I feel there's less variability with what we could have in Dwayne Haskins.
And you heard that, I'm sure you heard, Ryan, that Murray scored the lowest set of quarterbacks in that Wonderlic. I think he had a 20. We talked about it earlier, Moose and I. You put much stock in that or not too much?
Not a lot. I feel like there's a lot to love about Kyler Murray. I was talking to a scout and I asked him, I said, other than being 5'10", what are your concerns? Do you have any concerns with Kyler Murray? He goes, not many. So those two words to me express that NFL teams view him as a legit top-flight prospect. The height's the issue. We'll see. Here's the other thing. He only faced three-man rushes last year because that team was so explosive. So what happens when NFL teams bring four or five guys regularly?
Yeah.
How does Murray handle that? And I feel like Dwayne Haskins has seen more traditional defenses, and he'll have a better idea of what to expect at the next level.
Yeah, if you're a team in search for a wide receiver and a big play wide receiver, we know he's got the body of a Greek god. What about Metcalf coming out of Ole Miss?
I love Metcalf. He's my number one receiver. A 4.33 at the combine. We saw what he looked like with his shirt off. There are concerns that durability the biggest concern. He only played a few games his freshman year, played 7 games last year because of the neck injury. And again, a neck injury is also a big issue if you're playing tackle football. So that I think that more than anything, than being a raw NFL, a raw prospect, concerns NFL teams. Ole Miss didn't have a super fancy offense. They ran some pretty simple routes. And I know that sort of frustrated NFL teams in terms of trying to evaluate exactly what he can do. But I'll say this, every time I watch DK Metcalf play, he is dominating somebody. And yes, he's not going to run a bunch of crossing routes, but that's not what he is supposed to do. He's supposed to run deep post-corner routes and beat people, and he did it. So if that's something you're looking for, I think it makes a lot of sense to look at a DK Metcalf. Here's the thing, though. I think this wide receivers class is deep, but there are no real superstars outside of DK and possibly Marquise Brown out of Oklahoma. These guys may not get off the board until starting around 15 with the Redskins, depending on what Washington wants to do. And in my latest mock draft, I actually had DK falling out of the first round through no fault of his own, but just from other teams focusing on other needs. And the only wide receiver I had going was Marquise Brown, who's 5'9", 166 pounds, which creates a whole bunch of other issues.
Mm. We're talking with our special guest, Ryan Wilson, covers the NFL and the NFL draft for CBS Sports. So, Ryan, if we could just circle back real quick on defensive line play. Two guys that I love a lot, and Moose and I talked about these two cats a lot, these two kids out of Clemson, Wilkins and Lawrence. You know, both excellent players. I mean, some have them going around 18, 20, 25, 26, respectively. Why do you think these two guys are not going high? I mean, I don't know what – you're coming out of Clemson, and we've all – geez, just like past couple of years, all we've all talked about is how awesome that front four D line is. I mean, what do you think it is with Wilkins and Lawrence, why they're not top 10 guys?
No, I mean, that's a great point. And I think the issue is that they're not – incredibly dynamic like Quinnen Williams, or they're not doing what Ed Oliver does and just blowing up centers after snap by snap. Dexter Lawrence is 340, so their questions are, is he a three-down player? He is. And then Christian Wilkins doesn't flash. He's not a flashy guy, but you look at the numbers.
Man, they make plays.
They make play after play. So Pro Football Focus, the stats, the football analyst guys, they do the advanced metrics is what the word I'm looking for. Quinnen Williams is number one in run stopping and pass rush. Number two in both those metrics, Christian Wilkins. So
That's what I'm saying.
Is not far behind Quinnen Williams, and he does so many things well. Came back for his senior season, which turned out to be his most productive season.
And the guy off the edge, not to interrupt, Farrell, we didn't see, from Clemson, another guy.
Another guy. That's right. And the concern with Farrell is that he's not flexible enough around the edge. I talked to people close to him that said he's plenty flexible.
I could play, man.
And people who pass on him in the top 15 are going to regret it. He could be on the board at 16, and the Panthers would love to see him there, and they would run to the podium to take him.
Ryan, I love Jacobs, the running back out of Alabama. I know he ran a 4.640. I don't care what the 40 times said. You watch enough game film at Alabama, and I'm not telling you that he's going to be Ezekiel Elliott, but I think he's a starting running back in the National Football League. What's your take on Jacobs, the tailback coming out of Bama?
Love him. And you're exactly right. The 4.6, whatever it was, doesn't matter. You watch him play. He's making guys miss in small areas. His jump cut is breaking ankles. And by the way, if you get in front of him, he's going to run you over. He can pass block. He can catch. And also, something else to consider. The two other running backs I like are one of those that I really like. Number two is David Montgomery at Iowa State. And even if you go back to all the Alabama running backs that typically come out in the first or second round, Jacobs has 0 miles on him. He was sharing carries with Damian Harris last year. Going into the season, Damian Harris was the guy we were talking about as possibly a first-round pick. Jacob sort of came into the scene late, played extremely well, big part of that offense. Low mileage, so that's even a better reason if you want to take a gamble on him in the first round. You don't have to worry about him having already logged 400 carries a season for three seasons. He's ready to go, and somewhere like 25 to the Eagles makes a lot of sense, even though I know they just traded for Jordan Howard. But why not? I mean, that is how good he is, and that's how much pressure he would take off Carson Wentz, who's already under the microscope before we get to the season.
Yeah, another guy that running back that out of Kentucky that you don't hear much about. Moose is going to get on me because I always
Benny
talk about
Snell.
I always talk about Benny Snell.
Taz, Ryan.
I love him.
Taz, I think, owns stock in Benny Snell because as we've gone through this draft process, Taz has talked more about Benny Snell than any other player in this draft.
You know what's funny? I think I talked to you guys when I was in Indy for the combine, and I do think Benny Snell's name came up.
I love him. He's great, man. And then, yet he's not projected to go too high, but I'll tell you, I think this guy has the goods, man.
He does. He's a bowling ball. And he's a one-trick pony in the sense that you give him the ball, and he just knocks people down on his way to the first down marker. There's no lot of wiggle in this game, and there are questions about how effective is he in the pass game and all that. And the issue is, and I'm with you, like he's an extremely tough player. Can you find those guys elsewhere? And the answer is typically you can. You can find a handful of them. But listen, he'll have a role for an NFL team. He'll be a day three pick, and he's a guy that can hang around. If he can play special teams, he'll hang around even longer, and he'll get you the short yards.
Right. That's not really a ringing endorsement for my guy.
Not.
Oh, my God. I'll hang around day three and return punts. Killing me.
Right, give us a guy. There's always a surprise guy, right? So I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Give us a guy that jumps into the first round that you think that nobody's really talking about right now that maybe people don't have in the first round. And give us a guy, is it Metcalf now, that you think has the potential to fall out of the first round and be sitting there at the top of round number two Friday night?
So Rakia Sin, the cornerback out of Temple, is a guy that a lot of teams love. Had a really good Senior Bowl. He transferred from Presbyterian before the 2018 season. I talked to his teammate, the running back, Rock Armstead, and said he is the most competitive person I've ever been around. He works incredibly hard, but he has the size and the length that NFL teams look for. I think he ran a 4.5 or something at the combine. He can sneak to the first round. I'll give you another name that can sneak to the first round. Darnell Savage, a safety out of Maryland, ran a 4.37 at the combine. And you watch him play, and he's a missile back there, and he can play over the slots. We can cover guys for you, and then he can also come down in the run game and really mess things up for the offense. A guy that's falling for me, and other teams I know are concerned about this, is Greedy Williams, the LSU cornerback, who's arguably the most athletic kid in this class. He also ran a 4.37. He will not tackle anyone, so that's a concern. He's amazing in terms of coverage when he's focused. But if the wide receiver catches the ball, then your question is, all right, who's going to come over and help him bring him down? Because it's not clear that Greedy's going to be that guy. But he's an amazing talent. You can coach him up. He's a first-round pick. I just don't know if he's going to go in round one. He might be there early in round two.
Ryan, what's your take on Ed Oliver? Taz and I were talking about him earlier on in the program. You have him going to the Giants at 6. There are reports the Raiders love him, reports that the Jets love him with the 3rd overall pick. Down year this past year at Houston, had issues with Major Applewhite as well. What's your take? People have compared him, it's an unfit. I hate when people compare him to guys. I mean, but they're comparing him to the best defensive lineman in the National Football League about what he can do and Aaron Donald. What's your take on what Ed Oliver is as an NFL defensive lineman?
I love Ed Oliver. I have zero concerns about what I'm calling puffy coat gate, where he and Applewhite had the falling out. I don't know why he wore a puffy coat in Houston in October, but whatever. He played over the center in college, which is where he is not going to play in the NFL. That said, he dominated centers play after play, just pushed them into the backfield. He'll be a three-technique guy. He'll be shooting gaps. He weighed about 285, I think, at his pro day. I don't think he'll be able to maintain that weight. I'm okay with that because there are reports, to go back to Aaron Donald, that he only weighed 265-ish last year at times. So you can play it that way. He ain't Aaron Donald, but he is that type of quickness, that type of strength. And I think he gets after it, and I think you can move him anywhere. And that versatility makes him so attractive, go along with the quickness and the athleticism.
And final one, Ryan, is you think that if people play to their boards, that only two quarterbacks should be drafted in the first round Thursday night, right? Haskins and Kyler Murray, that's it?
I would take Locke in the bottom half of the first round, but I think what's going to happen is that four guys are going to end up going.
And you think Jones is going to be that fourth guy?
That's right. And I think that teams just can't help themselves, and they're going to take a gamble on him. And I think those four guys will be off the board.
Yeah, but Ryan, Taz and I talk about it all the time. Why do teams do this? I mean, why do you reach for guys, Ryan? I know it's not easy, and teams don't. But why do you reach for guys that shouldn't be drafted where they're getting drafted because of need? Why do you do that?
Because the guys are guys in the front office and the coaching staff don't want to get fired, and they're like, okay, this will work. I promise. I know we can fix them. Blah blah blah, and they do it, and then 4 months in, they're like, oh boy, that was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, and it happens every time, time and again. Meanwhile, the Patriots, they're trading away their picks. Their draft board is reportedly, in some years, 75 people long. They're not reaching for anybody. Once they're done with that, they're moving on till next year. And, to quote Bill Belichick, they're on to Cincinnati.
And they've got to find themselves a quarterback of the future as well. I know Brady feels like he can always play football, but at some point in time, Father Time's going to catch up with Brady, right?
I had them taking Daniel Jones to the bottom of the first round in one of my recent mock drafts, not to replace Tom Brady because I think he'll play forever, but just to flip him like they did with Jimmy Garoppolo. They're basically house flippers at this point. They buy up a house, fix it up. In 2 years, they sell it for more than what they paid for it, and Daniel Jones could be the next Jimmy Garoppolo, and they could switch him out for a second-round pick in a couple years if Tom Brady insists on playing. But if not, then you have Plan B. And maybe Daniel Jones is someone who could thrive in that system.
And right now, Cardinals make their pick Thursday night. You don't think they're taking Murray?
I do. I think I'm leaning towards Murray. 65%.
65% they take Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
And Ryan, always great catching up with you. We really appreciate the last 20 minutes. Thanks again for the time. And enjoy the draft Thursday night, all right?
Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.